Hey, it's Ronnie Davis, and you're listening to Being More, the place to be if you want to learn how to stop eating in ways that make you feel like crap, if you want to end the weight and food war, and start reimagining healthy eating and living. We'll show you how to change your mind, your food world, and your life with less doing and more being. I have to talk about my weight struggles. In fact, the decades that I wasted struggling with my weight. But recently I realized that makes it sound like my weight was the problem. Regardless of how it sounds, though, that's not at all what I mean when I talk about my weight struggles. I wasted literally decades of my life at war with myself, my body, and food for that matter, over the size of my body. Because, like everyone else, I was taught at a very young age that that's what I needed to do. To be healthy, to be loved, to be accepted, to be seen as good enough. It took being in the industry for 8 years and selling weight loss for 8 years and living with an eating disorder for a number of years for me to learn that weight struggles have nothing to do with weight and everything to do with the way our weight-centric society teaches us to view and, quote, treat weight gain. No matter what I weighed, my weight was never the problem. No matter what you weigh, your weight has never been the problem. Being taught that we need to manage our weight is the problem. So in this episode, I'm exploring the differences between a weight-centric versus weight-neutral views on health and well-being. And hopefully answering the question, is weight loss really the answer to health, happiness, success, and self-love? As I said, for over 8 years, I worked as a personal trainer and nutrition and wellness coach, selling the idea of weight loss as a solution to help people feel better, get healthier, and be happy. And at first, I genuinely believed I was making a positive impact, but as time went on, I started realizing a really unsettling truth, that intentional weight loss is a deceptive scam that preys on our insecurities, profits from our deepest fears, perpetuates a cycle of continued weight gain, disappointment, shame, and ever eroding self and body connection and trust. The more I promoted weight loss, the more I realized its fundamentally detrimental effects on human well-being. Eventually, at great financial risk and loss, I made the decision to quit the industry because I couldn't find an ethical way to continue selling weight loss as a solution or a fix for anything. So like I said, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the differences between weight-centric versus weight neutral approaches. I'm going to share my unique perspective on weight neutrality, the advantages that it offers, including the benefits for mental, emotional, and physical health. We're also going to explore why a weight neutral approach is far superior to the outdated and unsuccessful paradigm of a weight central approach. And lastly, I want to examine some real world outcomes of each through a series of short stories showcasing the contrasting results of each approach. So when it comes to health and well-being, there are these two distinct approaches, weight neutral and weight centric. And the first one I want to talk about is weight centric. Then I'm going to move on to the most sort of traditional weight neutral approach, and then finally finish off with how my view and ECET differs a little bit from the more traditional weight neutral approach. A weight centric approach places primary importance on achieving a specific weight or body size as a measure of health, not to mention happiness and success. But the underlying assumptions are that weight loss is necessary to improve virtually all health outcomes, that long-term weight loss is possible if we just work hard enough to control our bodies and ourselves, and that a failure to do so is the fault of the individual. The focus is on dieting, calorie counting, or other restrictive eating patterns to achieve this weight reduction. And as I said, the weight-centric approach views weight as the main determinant of health. In doing so, it overlooks and often worse, even destroys other vital aspects of well-being. It naively treats almost all health issues as weight-related, leading to neglect of other important health concerns, ultimately harming people in larger bodies and providing inadequate care and support. It's often blamed, the view that weight loss is the be-all and end-all to health and happiness and all of these things is often blamed on being rooted in societal beauty standards. But I think the more insidious, powerful driving forces really are the industries that perpetuate this idea because they profit off of fear of larger bodies. Industries like drug companies, insurance companies, diet companies, each of these companies are making tens of billions of dollars per year off of our fear of larger bodies. They're knowingly selling supposed solutions that actually make the problem that they have manufactured even worse. They perpetuate weight stigma, discrimination, and significantly worse overall health outcomes in the process. A weight-centric approach assumes that people in larger bodies are inherently unhealthy. They place blame, shame, judgment on those who don't conform to their ideals of health and beauty. It leads to disordered eating patterns, destroys our relationships with food, because you can't achieve a smaller body without restricting food, and you cannot restrict food without having your relationship with food destroyed. Restricting food in itself is a disordered eating pattern. It's not the way we have evolved to eat or live. It contributes to unhealthy eating patterns. It contributes to, even causes, overeating, emotional eating, binge eating, feeling out of control or even addicted to certain foods, the foods that you've been trying to restrict. So it's destroying these relationships that we have with food. It's destroying the relationships that we have with our bodies and ourselves, because it disconnects us from those things, right? Attempting to control our body size requires disconnecting from ourselves and our own needs in order to follow the rules of what we think we're supposed to do in order to create this, you know, arbitrary number on the scale at some later date. There's massive negative body image that's created by it. It causes a lifetime of living at war with ourselves and our bodies, decades of fear and attempts to control larger bodies, cycles, endless cycles of weight loss and weight regain, known as weight cycling or yo-yo dieting. And again, not even to mention anxiety and depression and the other mental health issues that we become significantly more prone to when we are focused on this number on our scale. And it's all built on a lie. There's decades worth of evidence showing the ineffectiveness of weight loss efforts in achieving long-term results. The truth is, the overwhelming majority of people who embark on weight loss interventions eventually regain all of the weight they lost. As many as 95% of people who lose weight regain all of the weight that they lost. And a staggering 66% of them end up at an even higher weight than before they started. And that's the supposed success rate. Those are the people that manage to lose weight when they start a weight loss endeavor. Most people don't even end up losing any weight. So that's the abysmal success rate of supposed weight loss interventions. Weight loss attempts are strongly correlated. In fact, they are one of the biggest predictors of future weight gain. As I saw firsthand with almost every single one of my clients during my time as a trainer, every time I would get a new client or pretty much every time, almost every single client I ever worked with, when they started with me, they'd be, you know, expressing massive amounts of frustration, even anger at themselves, over spending most of their entire lives dieting and trying to lose weight, only to be heavier now than ever. This pattern is not coincidental, nor should blame be placed on the individual. Countless studies have demonstrated the cyclical nature of weight loss and regain that results in, for most people, gaining even more weight than is originally lost. This pattern not only has negative physical effects on the body, but takes an enormous toll on mental and emotional well-being, contributing to or causing disordered eating behaviors, eating disorders, anxiety, depression, and more. Weight loss creates, or intentional weight loss efforts are a significant predictor of future weight gain, as I mentioned, because intentional weight loss disrupts the body's natural regulatory mechanisms. So it puts us, by definition, at war with ourselves and our bodies, because it's putting us in opposition to our body's natural way of operating, of living. It puts us in opposition to our body's innate drive for safety and well-being. So this conflict becomes an ongoing struggle between our attempts to exert control and our body's natural instincts. The body's natural response to weight loss is to defend against further weight loss and try to restore the lost weight. This physiological response highlights our body's inclination to maintain a stable weight range. So when weight loss occurs, the body activates all of these different mechanisms to conserve energy, to increase hunger, to reduce metabolic rate, making it increasingly difficult to sustain the initial weight loss. And none of that even acknowledges or gets into the psychological aspects why weight gets put back on. Forced weight loss attempts overlook the root causes of initial weight gain in the first place, and the deeply ingrained unconscious eating patterns that often contribute to it. Relying solely on willpower and discipline can only prevail against our conditioning for so long. If that underlying conditioning, those underlying patterns that created the weight gain in the first place, if they're going unaddressed, on top of the way that our body activates these mechanisms to try to reverse any weight loss, it's impossible to maintain weight loss, or virtually impossible to expect anybody to be able to maintain weight loss for any length of time. Weight loss attempts, intentional weight loss attempts, driven by these external factors, societal pressure, or unrealistic expectations for health or beauty, are wholly unsustainable for these reasons and many more. The restriction and deprivation associated with these intentional weight loss efforts lead to feelings of frustration, guilt, loss of control around food, ultimately contributing to weight regain. So even if I were to grant that being smaller equals being healthier, which I am absolutely not, but even if I were to grant you that, intentional weight loss would still be the worst idea in the world, because it's one of the biggest predictors of weight gain. It is unsustainable. Intentional weight loss is at odds with how bodies are designed to work, forcing you into a lifelong battle with its natural functions. It fails to address the psychological causes of eating patterns that cause weight in the first place, and leads to frustration, guilt, shame, and fear, making it a lifelong, unwinnable war for nearly everyone who undertakes it. And war, whether won or lost, has never exactly been known as a health-promoting endeavor. Am I right? Intentional weight loss efforts fail to achieve lasting weight loss. They perpetuate harmful beliefs behind weight stigma and fat phobia, and they have significantly detrimental effects on mental, emotional, and physical health. Research consistently indicates that it is associated with weight cycling, which is these repeated cycles of weight loss and regain. And this pattern, along with the weight stigma associated with weight gain, has been linked to adverse health outcomes like increased cardiovascular risk, reduced metabolic efficiency, and negative psychological effects, just to name a few. In stark contrast to that weight-central approach, a weight-neutral approach is about prioritizing health and overall well-being without focusing on a person's weight or body size. It acknowledges that the cultural misconception that equates body size with health is inaccurate and uninformed. The truth is much more nuanced and complex. Many interconnected factors contribute to our overall health and well-being, extending way beyond the narrow lens of weight as the sole determinant. Genetics, social and environmental factors, mental and emotional well-being, socioeconomic status, access to quality healthcare services, environmental exposures, childhood experiences, stress levels, and social determinants of health all play significant roles in shaping our overall health outcomes. So a weight-neutral approach recognizes that people naturally come in all different body sizes, shapes, weights, that regardless of size, they can either maintain good health or experience health issues based on any number of those other factors. So the focus shifts from fixating on battling with your body in this futile attempt to control weight or body size, and instead to adopting sustainable lifestyle habits such as balanced nutrition, regular physical activity, stress management, and self-compassion. A weight-neutral approach strives to create positive and inclusive environments that value individuals of all body sizes and shapes. So this is the view of conventional weight-neutral health and intervention programs, and it aligns with the ECTE views as well, though ECET adds a unique perspective to it. So let's get into that. As I mentioned, most traditional weight loss approaches, while yes, they take the focus off of weight loss, they still focus on adopting lifestyle habits like balanced nutrition, regular physical activity, and all of these other things that people associate with, quote, healthy lifestyles. But having worked as that personal trainer and well, nutrition and wellness coach for so long, I can tell you that these concepts have become so co-opted by diet culture that they carry a lot of the same baggage that comes with that. So even though, pardon me, in traditional weight-neutral circles, there's no focus on weight or explicit promotion of food restriction, there's still this idea that there are right and wrong lifestyles or behaviors, and that health requires forcing external behavior change in order to achieve the healthy ones. This underlying belief is a major issue with most approaches to promoting health, because trying to change external behaviors through willpower, discipline, whatever, ignores the underlying driving forces of unhealthy behaviors. And so here's where my approach with ECET and the weight neutral view that I take differs a little bit. So ECET starts from a few fundamental assumptions. We recognize that health is not defined or determined by an arbitrary weight or future goal. Instead, it's an ongoing, present moment experience of overall well-being that constantly fluctuates and is influenced by many factors, most of which are beyond our control. To the extent with which we have any ability to influence our health, though, we have to shift our focus from trying to control external behaviors or future outcomes to instead fully embracing the present moment, our unique needs in it, and importantly, addressing the internal barriers that impact our ability to do so. After all, the present moment is the only time we can ever even experience the state of our health or determine our needs based on that experience. So by turning inward in this moment, we tap into a wealth of information about our current mental, emotional, and physical states and what our needs are based on those states, based on the communication that we're getting from our bodies about those states. Our bodies are natural healers and communicators. 24/7, they are working, doing their best to keep us safe and healthy and to communicate their needs to us. And then they're responding based on how well we meet those needs or don't. We simply need to relearn how to be with them so that we can hear that communication and then genuinely want to honor it. ECET's weight neutral approach is having the courage to end the war, to make friends with our bodies and allow them to do what they do best, heal and communicate, to naturally settle into a state where they are feeling supported and nurtured well enough that they're given the chance to feel and function their best. Whatever size that ends up being when they get there is largely irrelevant. It's about meeting our unique individual needs based on what we actually need in this present moment, because it's actually coming directly from the communication from the source of those needs, rather than following these external pressures or preconceived ideas about what we should or shouldn't do or weigh. We also acknowledge with the ECET that often there are internal barriers that limit or block our ability to hear or want to honor those needs. These are the driving forces of unhealthy choices and lifestyles. And so those things must also be addressed. So an example of this, last night on a group call with some clients, I'm walking them through an exercise where they explored an event through the week that they recognized they were reaching for food when they were not physically hungry, and they were consciously choosing to ignore exploring what the desire to eat was trying to tell them they needed in that moment. So I walked them through this exercise where they went back into this moment in time through the week when they were very aware that they didn't really, like, it wasn't physical hunger that was driving them to reach for whatever food that they were about to reach for. And they knew that there was something going on, but they just refused to, in the moment when it was happening earlier in the week, they had refused to kind of pause and look inward to figure out what it was. And this is one of the biggest barriers we have to learning to not only hear, but then also honor these inner needs that we have. We just simply refuse to listen. And so in this call last night with clients, I was walking them through looking at what the need actually was trying to tell them, the need that they ignored was trying to tell them they needed, and also why they ignored it. And so we got a lot of the same answers, surprisingly. The underlying need, when they went back in to this memory, they realized, and they went into their bodies and back into this memory in their bodies and what they were feeling at the time, and they realized it was all some version of they needed connection with themselves. They needed attention, love, care, support from themselves. They needed to be seen and acknowledged and loved by themselves. And so that's what they were experiencing in that moment. But because there was this block that was shutting down their ability to, or their will to, connect and explore what that need actually was, they just reached for food to try to soothe it. And this is one of the biggest barriers to, quote, healthy eating, because we all have these blocks where we begin to feel a little bit of something, but we don't want to look any deeper at what it is. And so we just use food to fill the void. But what happens is you're not actually filling the void. The need is still there. It just gets stuffed down for a little bit. So the next day, when the food wears off, there goes that need popping up again. And so we have to acknowledge there are these internal barriers that limit or block our ability to hear and then want to honor our own individual needs. And so we have to address those internal blocks. Giving ourselves presence, and attention in this way, giving our needs presence and attention in this way, is the best thing that we can do for ourselves. It is the best way that we can connect to ourselves with love and with care and actually learn to honor what we need. Because there were also parts of them that were scared to acknowledge their needs. And like I said, they were ignoring them and using food as an attempt to comfort them. So the need was to be seen and loved and cared for. But because they were so scared to look at it, they were just ignoring it, further compounding this need to be loved and to be seen. Like just piling self-abandonment on top of self-abandonment and using food to just comfort and soothe it all. So it's important to recognize, and ECET recognize, that all behaviors have a cause. Unhealthy choices and behaviors are not the root problem, but rather symptoms of an underlying cause, underlying conditioning that operates unconsciously. That's why trying to rely solely on control or willpower or discipline to change external behaviors is not a sustainable approach in any conceivable way. Our conditioning always eventually takes over again. That's why we get into these patterns of falling off track, because we try to control and willpower and our conditioning takes over. Simply removing weight loss from the equation while continuing to promote the same external changes to behaviors without addressing the underlying causes of unhealthy behaviors is really no more effective than dieting. In fact, it might be less effective than dieting in some ways, because when you remove the hope of weight loss, all motivation to, quote, make healthy choices is often lost, so you don't even have the motivation or the willpower to try to force yourself to make these external changes anymore. To create lasting change, we have to focus on the root causes, the underlying patterns that drive unhealthy choices, and then learn the skills and tools and practices required to intentionally create new ones. This removes any need for external motivation. And when we do this, the new patterns that we're intentionally creating become our natural default state, leading to an organic shift in behaviors towards healthier, more nurturing, and supportive ones. And by changing the patterns that drive these self-destructive choices and prioritizing nurturing and support, our bodies are given the freedom to naturally settle into whatever size or shape helps them feel or function their best. So it's not about waging war against our bodies to try to shrink them into being healthy. Instead, it's about embracing the inherent wisdom of our bodies, working with them, and allowing them to do what they naturally do best. Because our bodies are designed to find their own balance and to settle into a place that feels most comfortable, especially when they are being well-nurtured and supported. So this approach stands in stark contrast to the fear-based external ideals or expectations that seek to control our choices or our bodies into conforming with other people's ideas about what we should do for them or how we should weigh. Letting go of all of these external pressures and honoring our body's natural processes and our body's natural communication allows us to embrace a more authentic and harmonious relationship with not only our bodies, but our overall well-being. So ECET differs from the traditional weight-neutral approaches by shifting the focus from reminding people about how they should eat or live to understanding and reprogramming the patterns that unconsciously block their ability to do so. we look at why they're not already doing those things. Because our assumption is that people are intelligent enough to know what they need when they need it. There are just barriers happening internally that keep them from being able to do that. So we acknowledge that sustainable transformation requires this deeper understanding of what's holding people back internally. What's stopping you from hearing and then honoring your body's cry for attention and care? That's what needs attention. That's what needs shifting. ECET's approach challenges the traditional belief that achieving well-being is hard work that requires fighting with self and body through discipline, control, and willpower. Instead, we encourage this harmonious and compassionate approach that embraces the natural joy and ease that arises when we learn to listen to, trust, and to honor the communication from our bodies and our inner wisdom. ECET does this by adopting a wholehearted being approach, which you've probably heard me talk about before. And so, this wholehearted being approach that we use to weight neutral health involves cultivating a life that's grounded in self-love and worthiness. It means accepting ourselves exactly as we are in the present moment, being fully present in the moment, being fully present and connected in our bodies, curious about our experience and our needs in this moment, and then intentionally honoring those needs on a moment-to-moment basis. So this distinctive emphasis on wholehearted being sets ECET apart from both weight-centric and most traditional weight-neutral approaches in fostering sustainable and transformative change from the inside out, providing a comprehensive approach that takes into account our conditioning and our unique present moment needs and truly supports our overall well-being. So, acknowledging the failures behind a weight-centric approach, a weight-neutral approach through ECET encourages you to turn inward. Rather than forcing external behavior change, we want to reconnect with that inner wisdom, address the conditioning that drives unhealthy patterns with food or lifestyle choices. These behaviors, when pursued with a genuine intention of well-being, rather than weight manipulation, have proven to yield a ton of long-term health benefits, regardless of changes in weight or lack thereof. So now I want to look at some of these proven benefits of a weight-neutral approach over focusing on weight loss, weight-neutral over weight-centric, rather. The pressure to conform to an arbitrary ideal weight is a significant contributing factor to the pervasiveness of negative body image and mental health issues. Striving to meet this standard to be healthy, to feel loved and worthy, keeps us living in fear and shame for years, even decades, when we're unable to attain it. Or even if we do attain it, we still live in fear of losing it again. Right? So there's never any chance for peace. Research consistently shows that people who engage in weight-focused behaviors experience body dissatisfaction and low self-esteem. These behaviors perpetuate the cycle of weight loss and gain that we've talked about before, lead to disordered eating patterns, eating disorders, negative body image. By shifting that focus from weight to overall well-being, ECET's weight neutral approach fosters self and body acceptance, promoting positive body image and healing disordered eating habits. It encourages people to appreciate their bodies for the simple fact that they are human, they are here, they are alive, and that's it. That's all they need to be in order to be worthy. This shift in perspective leads to improved mental and emotional health outcomes, including reduced anxiety, depression, body dissatisfaction, disordered eating. Contrary to popular belief, when we're talking about physical health, research shows that engaging in supportive behaviors rather than solely focusing on weight loss leads to significant improvements in physical health markers, right? It's the behaviors that we're engaging in that impact our health the more than actual body size, based on research. Studies consistently show that regular physical activity, again, regardless of weight changes, improves cardiovascular health, increases insulin sensitivity, and enhances overall fitness levels. Engaging in enjoyable physical activities that align with your individual preferences and abilities promotes long-term adherence, resulting in sustainable health benefits. Now, ECET's approach to movement goes one step farther by encouraging not only enjoyable movement, but embodied movement. That is, movement dictated by what body is telling you it needs to feel its best. So it doesn't necessarily need to be enjoyable, but it's coming from this place that is deeply connected to what your body is telling you you need. So for example, I have perpetually tight neck and shoulder, neck pain and shoulder pain from tight neck and shoulders. And so now, years ago, I used to consider this, my body hates me, you know, why am I always in pain, well, all this kind of stuff. But now I see that for what it is. It's my body's communication that it is tight and it needs to stretch in order to feel less pain, more mobile, and to feel better. So my body's communication when my shoulders feel tight. It's my body saying, hey, we need some attention. I don't enjoy stretching. In fact, I hate stretching. I would rather do just about anything in the world besides stretching or yoga. But I hear that my body is communicating this need to me, and I care enough about my body and also how I feel that I want to help support my body in feeling better. And so I take a few minutes every single day to stretch my tight shoulders when they're telling me they need to stretch. It's about genuinely wanting to support my body by engaging in the activities that it's telling me it needs. So ECET's approach to weight neutral views uses this really embodied approach to connecting with what our body is telling us it needs, whether it's always joyful or not, because as I said, I really dislike stretching, yoga of any kind. I would really prefer not to do it. But because I am deeply connected to my body in this way, I hear it when it's telling me we feel pain, we feel tight, this is what we need to feel better. And so I give it that based on that. It also emphasizes embodied intentional eating instead of restrictive dieting or even, quote, healthy eating, because even the phrase healthy eating comes with so much baggage that it's become restrictive. Whether you're trying to diet or not, just simply, quote, healthy eating is often significantly restrictive. And so this embodied intentional approach encourages people to listen to their body's communication about what, when, and how much it needs. Redefining its view or your view of what you think about when you think about what it means to be healthy, and then ultimately fostering a healthier relationship with food, breaking unhealthy eating patterns, patterns in general, and ending disordered eating habits. Also, adopting a weight-neutral approach in healthcare settings promotes inclusivity and compassionate care for people of all body sizes. The weight-centric model assumes that all health issues are weight-related, leading to neglect of other important health issues. In contrast, a weight-neutral approach recognizes that health outcomes vary greatly across people of all different sizes and shapes, and it encourages healthcare professionals to focus on addressing specific health issues rather than attempting to change body weight. This approach is crucial to reducing weight bias and improving healthcare experiences for people in bigger bodies. A weight-neutral approach recognizes that health is not solely determined by the number on the scale. It's about embracing whole person well-being and paying attention to the signals your body is sending in the present moment while also working to overcome internal barriers that hinder your ability to do so. And by shifting your focus in this way, you experience improved self-esteem, reduced anxiety, enhanced self-compassion, and you improve health outcomes because the approach is genuinely centered around meeting your actual needs right now rather than controlling your size at a later date. An added benefit of the weight neutral approach is that it challenges the industries, companies, and cultures that have caused so much harm by promoting weight loss and adhering to these unrealistic health and beauty standards. Instead, it promotes inclusivity and acceptance of diverse body sizes and shapes. By rejecting weight stigma and discrimination, we can find a sense of belonging, which is crucial for overall well-being, and develop a positive relationship with ourselves, our bodies, and food. So let's take a moment to dive into the experiences of a fictional character named Mary to better understand the contrasting outcomes associated with each of these approaches. While Mary is going to be a made-up character for this little experiment or this little exercise, her stories reflect common outcomes that many people experience in real life. These are based on people that are actually living these realities. So Mary number one, her thoughts became consumed by her weight, appearance, and a constant fear of how her size affected her health for as long as she can remember. Yearning for this past smaller version of herself that she believed was the ideal version of her, she spent most of her life trying to force her body to be that size again. She felt like that was the only path, the only way she ever had any chance of feeling good, being happy, or achieving better health. So every morning she'd stepped on the scale to measure her progress towards this elusive health goal, and her day was determined by the number it displayed. If the scale showed a decrease, she allowed herself fleeting moments of self-acceptance and maybe even indulged in a small treat. However, if the scale hadn't budged or went up, self-hatred seeped in and she vowed to restrict herself even more. Despite her best efforts, Mary experienced the cycle of weight loss and regain for decades. It didn't matter what method she used to try to lose the weight, the cycle of loss and regain continued year after year. Every time she shed pounds, anxiety consumed her because she was always scared the weight would eventually return. A fear that was well founded because it always did. Usually, she'd end up even more than her initial weight. The relentless focus on the scale's numbers took an enormous toll on her mental and emotional health. She was entirely disconnected from her body, lived with this deep shame and distrust towards it, struggled with horribly negative body image, incredibly intrusive, mean, and judgmental thoughts about her body. Every time she ate something that she thought was bad, overwhelming anxiety, guilt, and shame would wash over her. Her self-image deteriorated, paving the way for depression and anxiety. Her weight, or the weight of the decades of unsuccessful weight loss attempts, was weighing heavily, so heavily emotionally, that it was causing physical symptoms and impacting her energy levels, leaving her perpetually feeling exhausted and feeling physically heavy because of the emotional weight. Nutrient deficiencies and a weakened immune system also contributed to constant fatigue, and she lived with insatiable hunger. Not only did her body and self-image suffer, but she was completely disconnected from her body. Anxiety and depression continued growing. Years of weight control efforts caused continued weight gain and eventually took an enormous toll on her health. She developed all the things that she was so scared that she was going to develop. Cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, diabetes became additional burdens that she had to bear as a direct result of her relentless pursuit of a healthy body through weight control. This Mary One's journey showcases the destructive physical consequences, mental and emotional consequences as well, of this weight-centric approach. The mental, emotional, and physical toll is clear as she's disconnected from her body, grappling with these mental health issues, and experiencing, by the end, experiencing serious physical health issues as well. And I think that this emphasizes or helps to emphasize the need for a more compassionate, whole person, weight neutral approach that prioritizes overall well-being over weight. So Mary number two takes a more traditional weight neutral approach. After spending many years in the same ill-fated cycle as Mary one, Mary two stumbles across a bunch of information that opens her eyes to the truth about the ineffectiveness of intentional weight loss efforts. She recognizes herself in the explanations of why dieting and weight loss efforts don't work, and she decides she's finally ready to be done obsessing over her weight because she just wants peace. Inspired by this new hope of finding peace and adopting a healthier lifestyle outside of her weight obsessions, Mary number two decides to make these lifestyle changes in pursuit of better health without focusing on weight loss. She embraces the traditional healthy eating and lifestyle ideals. With this new focus on balanced nutrition, she decides to allow all foods in moderation, eating mostly, quote, healthy foods. And she also starts a new daily outdoor walking routine. While initially she feels a renewed sense of freedom and hopefulness as a result of releasing her constant scale obsession, she too quickly begins to struggle. Her new moderate approach to food felt more freeing, but she still found herself struggling to achieve this elusive sense of balance, this balanced nutrition ideal. She frequently noticed that she was still consumed with thoughts of what she should or shouldn't eat to be healthy, or how much she should or shouldn't be eating of those things that she was now allowing. And she still struggled with moderation when she would eat her favorite foods. She found herself still constantly mindlessly snacking and overeating, skipping workouts because she prioritized everything and everyone else in her life over herself. And what the hell, why bother? Because she wasn't focused on weight loss anyway, so why bother work out or walk or exercise? She found herself still constantly feeling stressed and exhausted, consumed by this highly critical and judgmental inner dialogue, and still cycling between either feeling on track or off track with her new, quote, healthy habit attempts. The underlying thoughts and patterns of habits and behaviors that created Mary's unhealthy choices in the first place, they all still lingered beneath the surface, continuing to influence and impact every aspect of her life, including the decisions that she made for herself and her body. Emotionally, she grappled with all of the conflicting messages about her body and her health, leading to inner turmoil and long stretches of just simply giving up on herself because she was so tired of it all. And she struggled to sustain the changes without addressing the underlying factors that drove her unhealthy behaviors. And just struggled in this cycle for years, eventually struggling with many of the same health issues as Mary one. So let's look at Mary number three and her weight neutral approach with ECET. Mary number three stumbles upon embodied cognitive eating training, and although she felt really scared about trying something so different and turning her attention inward after ignoring her inner world for so long, she did realize the importance of addressing the root causes of her struggles and reconnecting with herself and her body. She was intrigued by the concept of wholehearted being, and she took a leap of faith, letting go of external expectations, and she dived into changing these deep-rooted patterns that contributed to her previous unhealthy lifestyle. Through her process, through her work with ECET, she learned to redefine healthy eating and living according to her unique, individual, moment-to-moment needs. She embraced a personalized approach that was sustainable and supported her overall well-being. By reconnecting with her body in the present moment, she cultivated the awareness necessary to understand what she truly needed to support herself through a fully embodied approach. She learned the tools and practices she needed to rewire the hardwired patterns of thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that had kept her stuck in these unhealthy and self-sabotaging cycles, like emotional eating, binge eating, overeating, and self-sabotage. And she was finally able, pardon me, to manage stress and other negative emotions without always relying on food. And she repaired her relationships with food, herself, and her body. For the first time in her life, Mary began to view food, or her body rather, as an ally. Food was no longer the enemy, neither was her body. She spoke to herself more kindly, treated herself with compassion, and prioritized her own needs. To her surprise, she noticed her eating habits beginning to naturally shift all on their own. She started noticing she was craving foods that helped her feel her best, and patterns of overeating, emotional eating, and binge eating slowly began to fade more and more until they were gone. She found herself caring less and less about foods that used to make her feel so out of control. She experienced a newfound sense of freedom, peace, and harmony with herself, her body, and food. She naturally gravitated towards treating herself and her body better because she finally understood that she deserved it. Her overall well-being significantly improved, including physical health markers, energy levels, sleep quality, and stress management. And from that point on, she never fell off track again. By redefining healthy eating and living, reconnecting with herself and her body, rewiring unhealthy thoughts and behaviors, and repairing her relationships with herself, her body, and food, Mary discovered lasting benefits that extended far beyond physical health or whatever weight she was at. Her transformation positively impacted every aspect of her well-being and her life as a whole. By nourishing her body and prioritizing moment-to-moment needs, she experienced a remarkable reduction in overwhelm and burnout. This led to a significant increase in her energy levels and greater sense of vitality. By breaking her disordered eating patterns and cultivating a healthier relationship with food, she saw a dramatic improvement in the quality of her sleep. Restful nights became the norm. She dedicated herself to learning emotional regulation, equipping her with the skills to recognize, understand, and manage her emotions more effectively. And as a result of that, she had a noticeable reduction in emotional reactivity and emotional eating, leading to a newfound sense of emotional balance. By working on emotional regulation and healing past emotional wounds, she developed greater emotional resilience, which empowered her to navigate life's challenges and setbacks with a more adaptive mindset, bouncing back more effectively. By learning these emotional regulation strategies and developing this emotional resilience, she discovered healthy coping mechanisms that allowed her to reduce anxiety and manage stress more effectively. The result was an improved state of emotional well-being, marked by a greater sense of inner peace. She also addressed the obsessive thoughts and preoccupations commonly associated with disordered eating patterns. This led to her having a healthier, more balanced approach to food and body. She experienced reduction in obsessive thoughts related to eating and appearance, freeing herself from the grip of negativity and self-criticism. Equipped with these effective tools and strategies, she was able to diminish and manage other negative, judgmental, and self-critical thoughts that had previously plagued her. And this brought about a profound shift in her mindset, fostering greater self-acceptance and self-compassion. So by nourishing her body, embracing emotional regulation, cultivating emotional resilience, and addressing these obsessive thoughts, her well-being flourished. She found balance, peace, and a more positive relationship with herself, her body, food, and her life as a whole. The reality is we're exhausted. Everybody has a shtick with food. Everybody has shit with food that they can't seem to let go of. And a huge amount of it stems from our cultural obsession with trying to control weight, trying to deal with it, trying to control it, thinking that you had dealt with it and then slipping back and always feeling like a failure. Food and weight issues are complex, deeply personal, spiritual issues that that are not, that have nothing to do with food or weight. And the doorway to healing what we believe to be true about health, who we are, what we're worth, lies in turning inward and listening, trusting ourselves, understanding our innate worthiness, nurturing, honoring ourselves, our bodies, and our own needs, tuning out all of the messages from the outside world about what we should do, eat, or weigh. And so as we wrap up this episode, I want you to reflect on the stories of our three Marys and what they can teach us about a weight-centric versus weight-neutral approach. It is essential for us to realize the limitation and harm of society's weight obsession. We have to challenge and change this outdated view that equates health with weight and free ourselves from the scam, really, of weight loss. The only time you have any ability to experience the state of your health is in this moment right now, and there is absolutely nothing you can do to change the size of your body in this moment right now. The pursuit of weight loss forces you into a position of fighting with your body in this moment right now, though, in an attempt to try to make it smaller or healthier at a later date. By adopting a weight-neutral approach, you end the fight. And you focus simply on what your body needs right now and the barriers that are keeping you from being able to nurture, well, to hear, and then ultimately nurture those needs. And the benefits of this weight-neutral approach extend far beyond physical well-being. By focusing on changing the underlying causes rather than fixating on weight loss, we improve mental health, emotional health, improve body image, and heal from these disordered eating patterns. And we also help foster inclusive and compassionate societies, shaping a society that values diversity and individual well-being beyond weight. So thanks for tuning in today. And remember that you and your well-being matter way beyond what your body ever weighs. You've been listening to Being More with Ronnie Davis. Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about embodied cognitive eating training and access free resources, visit www.ecet.online.